Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold. You love podcasts. The stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
The Ledge Podcast is back, episode 112, and I am your host, Jane Perrone. It rhymes with Stallone. In this week's show, we're talking about plant swaps. There's absolutely nothing better than getting a room full of planty people together to exchange precious pots full of lovely leaves. And that's what this show is all about. I'm talking to Faye Kenworthy and Sarah Rousseau, the co-founders of Plant Swap UK, which is based in Sheffield, about how they set up their plant swap and how it has changed their lives. And I'm dealing with a Q&A concerning a mystery peperomia. If you're in Montreal, prick up your ears because this concerns you. Shout out this week to Zaya or Zella, I'm not sure how to pronounce your name. Welcome to our merry band of patrons. You can now officially call yourself a legend. Patrons unlock extra exclusive content, ad-free versions of the show, and more, including this Christmas, a special posted Christmas greeting. So if you do happen to be a patron, please make sure that your postal address is up to date in Patreon. Otherwise, I won't be able to send you this lovely thing. I'll put a link in the show notes to show you how to do that. And it's not too late to get on board so you can get that special exclusive Christmas greeting, which has involved commissioning an illustrator. So it's going to be a good one, folks. You've still got time to get that Christmas greeting. You just need to sign up to Patreon before November the 8th, and that way you will get your personal handwritten card. I'm in the middle of revamping my Patreon, and I'd love to hear from you, whether you're a current patron, a former patron, or somebody who's never given it a try. I'd love to know what you'd like to get out of it, what I could add, what could be changed, and generally what you think of the whole idea. So drop me a line to ontheledgepodcast@gmail.com or leave a comment in the show notes or send me a note on Patreon if you're already a subscriber. Whatever the method, I would love to hear from you and get you to help me shape the future of my Patreon. Not Lots of listeners have been in touch over the last few months asking for an episode about plant swaps. And I couldn't resist taking up that challenge because plant swaps are fab. For a start, you get to be in a room full of people who share the same passion as you. You get to offload a few extra plants that you haven't got room for anymore. And you get that warm, fuzzy feeling from knowing that somebody else will soon be enjoying the delights of the particular plant that you've brought. As we all know, plant people are notoriously generous, so plant swaps are also great places to pick up new additions to your collection without having to spend a penny. But how do they work? How do you find one? Or what about if you want to set one up? Well, I've dabbled very slightly in the world of plant swaps over the years, but I haven't a clue as to how to set up a really good, slick operation that works well for everybody. So I turned to Faye Kenworthy and Sarah Russo, who organise plant swaps in Sheffield and further afield in the UK and are past masters at making these events work. They were so lovely, and as you'll hear, we had lots of fun, and we also covered lots of great ground on this subject too. But I'll let them introduce themselves.
I'm Faye. I'm one of the co-founders of Sheffield Plant Swap, and Sarah and I, who is the other sort of co-conspirator in this exercise.
Hello.
Co-conspirator sounds good.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so I'm Sarah, and I'm the other co-founder of Sheffield Plant Swap. And Faye and I have known each other for about 15 years.
Oh, wow, okay.
But we have lots of overlapping parts of our lives, which is really weird, because we both have the same degree, but we weren't in the same year.
We knew off, but didn't know each other at university.
We both studied archaeology at university, and I was two years above.
Yeah.
Faye, and then we met again, weirdly, playing roller derby.
Okay, well, so that is a Venn diagram that's very interesting.
Well, and
probably
the roller derby.
Yeah, that is an interesting.
The roller derby is a critical point in this story, though, because it was roller derby that actually started off the plant swap.
Okay.
Because we have a social group of roller derbyers, current and past roller derbyers in Sheffield.
Retired,
yes.
Like me.
Okay. Yeah. It's quite a violent and lively sport.
Yes, lively.
Well, yeah, violent's probably the wrong word, but yeah. It's
energetic, it's, full contact, yes,
yeah.
I retired.
Yeah, fair enough.
But a lot of roller derbyists sort of like cross over in this Venn diagram of being interested in plants as well. And so conversation started off on a Facebook thread saying, you know, has anybody got this plant that we can swap? And then Sarah had some, and then I had some, and it was getting very complicated working out lots of cross swaps amongst multiple people. So then I was like, well, should we get everybody together at somebody's house? And then it was more people than could even fit in Sarah's house, and it turned into a, well, can we find somewhere else to host us?
So we did,
and here we are. Everyone thinks of plant swaps, you bring some plants and then you take away some plants. There's a lot more to it than that, I imagine.
There is. Although that is
the essence of it.
One of our plant swaps, yes, definitely. What we are really keen to do is to make sure that nobody feels they need to bring something,
mm-hmm.
And that everybody feels that they can go away with something as well. We want part of the point of plant swap for us is to encourage people to have houseplants. And so if people are coming and they haven't got anything to swap, well, that's absolutely fine with us. There's always plenty. Always plenty. So, yes. But there's a lot of background, yes, that goes into planning it.
And are you finding that this is something that's being adopted in other places? Are you finding other cities or the people are going, how are you doing this? We want to try this where we are.
We have had inquiries. I had an inquiry from Austin, Texas.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I sent a long email to the guy that wants to do it in Texas. I haven't heard from him, actually. I must contact him. But there are plant swaps around, but they tend to be quite different to us.
Yeah, so there tend to be a couple of different models that people can use. So I am aware of the plant swaps that are starting up and happening, but there's some choices you make quite early on about how you want your plant swap to run and what your sort of purposes and aims are. And so maybe for people who are quite a long way down their houseplant journey, they're very interested in swapping on a transactional basis, one-to-one, particular specimens that they've been looking out for. And we were thinking about people who were far earlier in their houseplant journey and wanting to encourage people to start collecting houseplants or start just interacting with nature and having some plants. And so the way that it falls out for us is that rather than having transactional one-for-one or token system, actually what we say to people is, please bring what you can, take what you like, and then if you can make a donation that you feel is sort of appropriate, and if you've not brought anything, maybe you'd donate a little bit more, then that evens it out in the wider scheme of things. And hopefully, over time, people who've taken away one plant, after all that grows, matures, it might have some babies, and then you bring that back to another plant swap, thinking, well, you know, somebody else gave me this, and now I'm passing on that plant love.
Yeah.
And we do try and keep it fair. I think that's quite important. So some people won't swap at the actual swaps, and they use our Facebook group for swapping individually, and they'll meet up. And a lot of people have met through that. But what we tend to do at the swaps is we will say, we only do it for an hour, which seems like a really short space of time, but it means everybody's there at the same time, which is lovely because they all get to meet. Everybody puts their plants on the table, and then they don't swap until we say they can.
I can
sounds
imagine
really
that,
draconian,
no,
but
I can
it
imagine
means
that's,
that nobody's just grabbing.
Oh, yeah.
You get a chance
I'd
to
be that person.
Look.
I'd be that person going, oh, my God, tossing aside elderly ladies and small children in order to get that special plant. That sounds very, very sensible. And, human, when it comes to exciting, people get excited about plants.
They do. You can sidling up to a plant and standing next to it for ready when I say, swap so that they're there.
That would be me. I'd be terrible.
Just wanted to step in here and say, I promise I will be well behaved if you ever see me at a plant swap, okay? I will restrain myself against all temptations and be a very good plant swapper. So don't bar me from your plant swap, please. Anyway, on with the interview.
Is there a typical plant that people bring along? Is it the common stuff? Is it the spider plant? I can just see this trough of lovely spider plants.
So the trough that you see before you is what we call one of our plant swap creches. This is what happens. After a plant swap, we get plants left over.
Yep.
And they come home with us. Faye will take some, and they live outside at Faye's, or occasionally inside. I will take the ones that I can put in this trough, basically. Mm-hmm. So we haven't had a swap for, three months. So I brought home a load of spider plants from the last one. And as you can see, they quite like being there.
They're doing
there.
Very well.
So they're all going to the swap, or most of them will be going back to the swap next week.
Well, I guess that's the thing. If you've got somewhere, you know, it's a shame for plants. What are you going to do with them otherwise? You can't contemplate.
Oh, we go through the stage of the bargaining first. So there is an end stage where everybody who's been a bit too polite because they feel like they've taken their fair share, we then say, no, please, just take anything now. You know, don't feel like you're being greedy because all of these plants will come home and live with us. So take whatever you like.
Nothing gets thrown away. Everything either gets given away or brought back with us.
And we do have some very kind people who foster plants for us.
Yeah, we do have some. Great. Our friend Lisa, she has an allotment. She's brilliant. She will take stuff that will survive on the allotment. She will take that for us.
Yeah, because we have garden plants and house plants. I mean, we started off primarily as a house plant swap, but then it seemed draconian to say, no, you can't bring anything that lives outdoors. And so now I'd say we have half and half, and we have tables set up for house plants and tables for garden plants.
And is plant swapping, I mean, I hate to say the word Brexit, but I'm going to say it. Is it part, I mean, I've been thinking about this and about sort of people stockpiling things and about how it's going to affect the houseplant industry. And I'm wondering whether, you know, it's actually quite subversive, this whole plant swap thing, in that there is this, you know, rare aroids going for hundreds of pounds and things. There's something rather nice about the fact that there's no financial transactions going on here. But is that something that matters to you, the fact that it's just a totally different way of growing your...
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. We started this because we want plants to be accessible to everybody. And we often have Monstera that comes to the swap. And people will pay £30-40 for one tiny Monstera. And so being able to get one into the swap means they can have the plant they want. It makes a big difference. Having said that, all of us, we all know that a lot of the people that come to Plant Swap also purchase plants.
True.
A lot.
Yes.
I wouldn't say it's not an alternative to buying plants, but it supports and sort of encourages people around it. And I think particularly about making it accessible and bringing new people in who maybe haven't had plants before. The lovely thing is that you don't just... you know, get a plant. There's actually a Facebook group where people share information and tips, and people
ask questions.
Oh, I got this plant at the plant swap. How do I look after it?
What is it?
And what is it?
What is it? Quite often.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say, and your listeners can't see this, how many houseplants there are in this room?
Yes.
We started this 2 years ago, and the only houseplant in my house was the peace lily.
Okay, so yes, you've upped your game.
I've upped my game. And yes. I could frequently be heard telling people that I had the black fingers of death when it came to plants. So you can see I've kind of moved on a little.
Yes, yes. Well, and I guess that's the great thing about a plant swap is that you can get a plant which you can learn all about through the course of the Facebook group, and you can look up advice in so many different ways, books, internet, and so on. And you're going to learn as you go.
Absolutely.
And it may take you in a different direction than you possibly expected.
Well, the other thing, the nice thing about plant swap is, because we do them every 2 months, if I have had a plant that doesn't like me...
Or your house.
Or my house, which does happen.
Yeah.
I know that in a couple of weeks' time, I can take it back to plant swap and somebody else will very willingly take it.
Indeed.
Even if I have done my darndest to kill it. Which sometimes I do.
Yes,
sometimes I just don't get on with the plant, or it doesn't like the house, or I can't find the right place in the house for it. And I know I can take it to plant swap and somebody else will love it.
Yes.
And that's what's so great about it.
I think that works for a lot of people, really. The idea that, you know, sometimes things just don't work out, that you've not got the right place for it. You can take it to plant swap and go away with a plant and have a go at that. And you don't have to be tied into this sort of doomed relationship with a finicky plant that's never going to be happy.
Yes.
So I made my peace that ferns will never live in my house.
Oh, well, you know. I mean, I have had many, many ferns over the years, and many have been given away, many have been composted, because likewise, they're not my spirit plant.
The only place they would live would be my bathroom. My bathroom has no windows.
Oh, okay.
So it's sort of a functional aspect. There's just no way it's going to happen. And I did take a fern, in fact, to plant swap, labelled only as sad fern.
Yes, we have a photograph of that, actually. Yes.
Is there a thing where people like, you know, people want to kind of fixer-upper plants? Where they think, oh, yes, I want a challenge. I'm going to take this stick on and I'm going to turn it
something. Just about to say, we do have quite a few people who will, with joy, take away something that is on its last legs. Faye has done it for me recently in that I inherited a jade plant that was not doing well, and then I proceeded to forget about it because it was in a room I don't go in, and it was not well, and it went to live at Faye's for a little while, and it's come back and it is thriving. So there are always people who will take stuff, who have the time to do it as well, which I don't always.
And how has the swap size developed? It obviously has grown. Is it gone exponential? Are you sort of created this monster now?
We have created a monster. I mean, the first swap, which was November 2017, November, we started this in November in the outdoors. We must have been mad. I think we got about 20 to 30 people, and we weren't expecting that. Now we're upwards of 60.
Easily. It's incredibly hard to, like, count.
We can't count them. We haven't found a method that works for counting people.
Because we don't have, like, a clear in and out, and there's people circulating. But, yeah, definitely more than 60. And there's about 1,000 members in the Sheffield Plant Swap Facebook group. And there's a lot of people who actually haven't been to a plant swap yet, but just swap plants on the Facebook group too. I love the way it operates, both in, like, the digital world and the real world, and between the two of them, it both makes connections in the sort of face-to-face connections, but then also this ongoing and daily sort of chit-chat and conversation that's happening on the Facebook group.
And we don't allow selling on the Facebook group, so we keep that
ethos.
as the plant swap. It's swapping only. Mm. We don't allow adverts for selling and that kind of thing, because we want the Facebook group to be very much like the swaps itself. And we've also got a website now which we've Faye has built. I'm going to say this because Faye has done an absolutely marvellous job of building this website completely from scratch, and we use that to give a little more in-depth knowledge about some of the plants, because people keep asking us, and it's a good excuse for me because I used to be a photographer, so I spend a lot of time taking photographs of plants, but I also take photos of all the people that come to the swaps as well.
Nice.
So it's quite nice to share the photos.
I love our people and plants photos. So every swap we have a people and plants sort of gallery of people who've arrived.
Oh, I love. I'm going to have
with
to
their plants when they when they go, and I love those. And it,
I love taking them.
Yeah, no, they're absolutely brilliant.
That is a great little snapshot of what's going on. Yeah. In your
spots. Encourage people to post photos of the plants they've taken when they've matured a bit, or where they put them in their home. We encourage them to put that on the Facebook group.
And it's really nice if you donated a plant as well, and you see it sort of popping up in somebody else's life, and you think, oh, that's where it's gone. That's really nice.
And are there any sort of potential pitfalls? I mean, what do you do if somebody turns up with a mealybug-infested cactus? Or are there any things where you think, oh, gosh, this is a tricky one to handle? Or is it all smooth sailing?
We just say no thank you to anything with disease. I think anybody would understand that.
We've never had that happen, actually, to my knowledge. We have had somebody who said they took something that turned out to have issues. But I think we can't control that.
Of course.
And we don't check every plant that goes through, because when everybody, like I said, it's an hour, when everybody's there and it's only an hour, it's hard to keep track of everything. So we're not watching the plants as such.
Yeah, the pitfalls, I mean, for us personally, it's been just sort of having lots and lots of plants and going home.
It's not a pitfall.
it's massive. Our partners,
plant hoarders, of the world.
I'm trying to think beyond
We've
that.
Had one occasion where somebody did sort of sweep their arm across the table and take everything that they could get their hands on. And Faye's a lot more diplomatic than me, and I got Faye to... Faye had to
sorted
say something.
Sorted out the issue, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think that's the thing, isn't it? As people see how the thing works, hopefully they're mirroring the good behaviour they're already seeing.
Yes, and generally I think that is actually as it is. They had not been before.
Yeah.
Yep, Faye and Sarah were just about as much fun as they sounded, and we'll be back with them in a little bit, but now it's time for this week's Q&A. I was delighted to get a particularly gnarly plant identification question this week from Charlotte, who was enjoying the peperomia episodes when she decided to drop me an email about a peperomia that is, well, she described it as the hunt for a unicorn peperomia. And the story goes something like this. Charlotte was in Montreal, not her home city. She was visiting various plant shops and boutiques, and according to her, eating her weight in food sounds good to me. And she came across a tiny plant sitting on the ledge, see what she did there, in a cafe window. And she writes, at first look, I brushed it off as a baby Pilea peperomioides, but as my coffee took longer and longer to arrive, I realised this was no ordinary money plant at all. Yes, the tops of the leaves looked like saucers or UFOs, but the underside did not stem from a mother branch and the stems were red. Exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark. In my pre-coffee haze, I left the cafe figuring that I would easily be able to find this plant online to identify it. This was certainly no exotic plant cafe. After all, surely this was a readily available plant. No, Jane. This is no common houseplant. Picture a watermelon peperomia with its beautiful red stems popping up from beneath the soil surface. Only instead of the signature striped leaves, picture a beautiful flat green leaf. The best I can find is the picture I've attached below, called the Peperomia scutellifolia. But in all the internet, this is the only picture I can find. So surely this innocuous little cafe in Montreal is not housing the one and only unicorn of peperomias perched on a windowsill and forgotten about. So this was like catnip to me. Obviously, I had to help and I did a bit of searching. And my best guess was either that this plant was Peperomia monticola, which is a geophytic peperomia. That means it's a cordiciform plant, which has got very similar sounding qualities. It's got red stems and those UFO type round leaves. The other plant that occurred to me was Crassula umbella, which is a rare Crassula, also known as wine cups, that has round leaves. So these were the suggestions that I put to Charlotte. And the conclusion so far is that she thinks it's Peperomia monticola. I don't think this is a plant that's particularly easy to get hold of. So if anyone knows of where Charlotte might be able to get a Peperomia monticola in Canada, then please do shout out and let me know. know, because Charlotte's very excited about the idea of getting her hands on one of these plants. And if anyone is listening in Montreal, let me know. And if you want to go on a special On the Ledge mission to this cafe and try to take a picture of this plant, then I will hook you up with the correct information. I love these kind of challenges. So if you've got a mystery plant, then please drop me a line. There is nothing I like better than a bit of botanical sleuthing. And if you've got a question for On the Ledge, the usual rules apply. Drop me a line to ontheledgepodcast@gmail.com and include all of that good stuff. Photographs, information about your plant as much as you know, your location, where the plant's located, and so on, all helps me to answer your question to the fullest extent. And now let's get back to Sarah and Faye and chat a bit further.
Help your small business thrive and stay connected with the Comcast Business Complete Connectivity Solution. It's the largest, fastest, reliable network. Advanced gig speed Wi-Fi and cyber threat protection. Get started for just $40 a month for 12 months with no annual contract when you add mobile. Plus, ask how to get up to a $750 prepaid card. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Ends 2/21/2023. Restrictions apply. Requires equal bill and auto pay. New 100 megabits per second internet and Comcast Business Security Edge customers only. Equipment taxes and fees extra. After 12 months, regular rates apply. Gig internet required for gig Wi-Fi.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
About plant swaps.
Is it encouraging people to propagate plants specifically for the swap?
I mean, definitely.
I love a bit of propagation.
Definitely. And people, and we love it because people will put stuff on Facebook. This is what I'm bringing to the next swap. And it will be this sort of like little nursery of lots of different babies of things, which is brilliant.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah. I love propagation.
It is phase things. Whereas I have a slight problem that I don't want to harm any of my babies. And so, therefore, I've had Faye in here this week saying, and I've been saying to her, right, what can I split? What can I actually? But I can't bring myself to do it. I let her take a leaf off that this week, and that was really hard.
That's a beautiful peperomia. I mean, I should be able to identify it, having just been to the National Collection, but I can't. But
It's a watermelon one, and I can't remember what its exactly name. It's like Agria or something.
Yeah, okay.
But they're very beautiful, and I've been looking up them for ages, and I was like, Sarah, could I take a leaf, please?
And I let her do it. I couldn't watch while she did it, but I let her do it.
That's interesting. Well, I do find that when people come to my house, because I have quite a few training plants, like a string of hearts and a string of beads, and people are always like, and I've actually, or Hoya linearis, whenever Hoya linearis, I could have given away a million cuttings of that.
Yep.
And I'm like, I'm actually not going to give away any more from it, because it's, I can't get it to grow because it keeps being
talking about string of anything.
String of anything
is really, really sought after at swaps, and we don't get them that often. So pearls, dolphins,
hearts, bananas.
Anything, but they don't appear very often because people just don't want to split them up, I think.
Well, I just recently purchased on eBay for, well, it wasn't that bad, it was about 10 quid, a cutting of the variegated string of beads or string of pearls, Senecio rolliensis variegata, which is very desirable, I have to say. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's so gorgeous. But again, I mean, it's one plant that does really thrive in my house.
Yep.
So once it gets big, I will be taking cuttings, because for me, that's part of the joy is... Yeah. Having this plant that is really desirable and being able to go, there you go, you can have some of that. Because that's what people have done to me.
Yeah, I've paid
for
me.
Yeah. I don't feel I have the knowledge to do it and keep both alive. I think that's my concern.
Yeah.
The thing that I'm most after is a variegated Monstera. I think that is top of my list for wanting.
Yeah.
Well, you see, I did get a variegated Monstera cutting off eBay. So far, it's not actually looking very variegated.
Well,
the stem was variegated, so I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt that it was from a variegated parent, because when it arrived, the stem had these wonderful swirls on it. So I was like, oh yeah, you know, that's look. So far, the two leaves that's popped out have been disappointingly solid green.
So what Faye has to tell you is how many Monstera there are in her house.
Oh dear, okay.
So I've got two.
I'm wondering if you've got more than me. I'm just trying to add up how many I've got. Go on.
Well,
she counted them recently.
A dozen.
Oh no, in the 20s.
all of Deliciosa or different?
Yeah. So basically, there's a bit of
story. It's a forest.
It's a forest. It's a jungle.
Her kitchen is a forest.
I live in a tiny terrace that's like two down, two up, and in my kitchen I have a Monstera that goes. It sits on the washing machine and it goes to the roof. Mm. And this came. It was a £5 eBay purchase. Nice. And when it came, it was just this tangled mess of everything. And I was really brave and I took a pair of scissors and I pruned it hard. And then I was like, it seems a pity to get rid of these. I wonder if these are, you know, if I can propagate it. And I was, oh yes, I can propagate it. Mm, okay, let's give it a go. And I thought, you know, maybe some of them would take. They all took. And I've got
You're a victim of your own success.
I've got about 24. So they're at various stages. There were some quite mature sort of leaves that I took several at a time. With sort of air roots and stuff. And then there were other bits which were just like short sections of stem.
Mm.
And so they're now little tiny baby plants. And then the other ones are sort of like mid-sized monsteras.
Wow.
And then, yeah, there's this huge mammoth monstera who sits in my kitchen and sort of dominates the space.
And will any of them be going to this plant swap? So you're going to
keep them all? No. Part of the bargain is that some of them go to plant swaps.
Okay, yes. Okay. Yeah, I mean, you have got more than me. That's definitely true. I mean, I've said on the show several times, I am incredibly naughty because I do have three variegated monsteras, which is ludicrous.
But they're so lovely.
They are so pretty.
Well, but one was given to me, and two I bought as tiny seedlings. Mm-hmm. But it was a very exciting moment because one of them has just had its first fenestrated leaf that has got a hole that's surrounded by
leaves.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's an exciting moment. That really is exciting. So, but my plan is eventually to break up one of those plants for cuttings for listeners and do some kind of lottery. Because again, I want to spread the joy. I mean, I could sell one of them on eBay or whatever, or sell one of them, you know. But I don't really. That wouldn't be very much fun. I want to make it fun. So eventually, as I say, they're getting bigger by the day now. So something's going to have to happen.
Well, that started as a leaf. My stepdaughter gave me that for my birthday, and that started as a leaf.
Yeah.
So you know, they do. And when that started with the. With the holes and things, I was very excited.
Yeah, it is. What amazes me, though, sometimes people have the assumption that as the leaf grows, it will develop. Like, as the leaf grows, it will develop more holes. Whereas the fascination is that it comes fully formed. It's just got to unfurl and kind of expand, which I think is just so interesting when you see it, especially with the variegated form, because you can see the different colour coming through. But I guess, and the fashions will change and something else. Well, perhaps we'll be going on to plain green leaves and appreciating something else.
There are definitely some less popular plants which I think could do with some more love than they currently get.
Yes.
We've been getting a lot of...
I'm not very good on names, I have to admit. Porthos?
Oh, yes, yeah.
There have been quite a few of those recently, haven't there?
I was partially responsible for those
because you bought some and then brought them to the plant swap.
Yeah,
guilty as charged.
There are a lot of people who come to the swap who rescue plants from shops where they've got them and they're not looking very well and they might be on offer or they might be being thrown away. In fact, I rescued a massive cactus out of a skip from down the road.
Wow.
And that went to plant swap. It was just, it was like this. It was... good 6 inches across. It was crazy.
I have heard people say was saying to me, I found this on the curb, and I'm thinking, is that like falling off the back of a lorry? But I suppose it happens. People are moving out of an apartment, they don't have room for a plant, it just goes outside and they think,
and somebody will pick it up.
Yes,
but this was actually thrown into a skip and I just climbed in and got it.
I love that. Skip diving for plants. That's a great
thing. I was going to say, we've created beasts that we now feel the need to feed and take more plants to. But that is why I love propagating plants as well, because it does make it, as you were saying, much more accessible. And you can then spread the plant love to other people and say, oh, you know, would you like a cutting of this and a cutting of that? And it's a great way of sort of spreading.
And we've also discovered that some of our members are specialists in their own right. Some of them have favourites, and they know so much about their chosen plant, and it's wonderful to have them at the swap because they will impart that knowledge to others, which is just brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, and in fact, actually, from our, we didn't know a lot about plants when we started Plant Swap.
I still don't think I do.
But having members that were incredibly knowledgeable means that at a Plant Swap, it's just as likely to be a member who's sharing knowledge as Sarah or I, because we haven't brought the plant, we don't necessarily know its history or what it likes, whereas somebody who's brought the plant and they see somebody pick it up, they're like, I brought this one, it really likes these conditions, or make sure you only water it once a week. And it's fantastic because you do get those sorts of conversations where people share the knowledge as well as sharing the plant.
So would you encourage anyone thinking about setting up a plant swap to just go for it, to give it a try and see how it works? Is this labour of love been worthwhile?
Oh, yes. Worthwhile. We were talking about this before you arrived, and like, find a co-conspirator, find somebody else to sort of...
Yeah, don't do it on your own.
...who's enthusiastic and wants to do it, because it makes it so much easier when there's two of you sort of behind a project and you sort of G each other up and...
And it does take a lot of our time. I work part-time.
Yeah.
And I would say one day a week I spend dealing with Plant Swap stuff. You know, venue, because we don't just have one venue, we have two venues now.
And we're looking to try and find
a third venue. And we're trying to find a third venue across the city, because people tend to travel by public transport, and then you have to think about is your venue accessible, because we won't use a venue that isn't disabled accessible. And there's loads of things to think about and talk to people. And of course, if you're having a plant swap, you have to advertise it.
Of course, yeah. So I'm sure with events like those, when I've organised events, you know, you'll get half a dozen people after the event who say, I wish I'd heard. And you're thinking, yes. I did so much advertising. How could you not have seen my advertising? I wish I'd known. Well, I don't know how much more you can do.
But it always.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But there is an enormous amount of organisation that goes into it. And so, you know, more power to your elbows for organising it. And you've got donations, as you were saying, people.
Yep.
So presumably you're ploughing that all back into making it bigger and better.
We are looking at moving it out of Sheffield and perhaps going to other places as well, and holding events in other places too, because we want to share it. We really enjoy it.
Yeah, we always come back after every plant swap on a bit of a high.
We do.
Yeah,
and want to lie in a darkened room for half an hour.
I just love talking to people and meeting people, and the really nice thing is you get to meet people who all share the same passion.
And do you discover that there's like somebody who lives very close to you who you suddenly realise, oh my gosh, I've got this amazing resource and I didn't even know you existed? Or
so many connections.
Yeah.
To be invaded by dogs.
At this point in the interview, Sarah's dogs came back from their walk, and the interview descended into a chat about dogs. So let's fast forward to the point where we get back into houseplants.
Is there anything else about plant swaps that we've neglected to say that you wanted to share, or important things or insights?
I suppose I think you were touching on the what would you do if you were setting up a plant swap, or how would you do it. I want to say, first off, we've got a website where we talk about how we run plant swap, so that people who are coming along to plant swap know what to expect and know how it will run. And that's quite a useful template if you're thinking of setting up a plant swap, to go and have a look at. But equally, there are other ways of running plant swaps. There's not one size fits all. So think about what you want to accomplish out of it. And, you know, we always had a really clear vision that this was about building a community of plant lovers, encouraging people to start on their sort of houseplant journey. But, you know, you might have a very different sort of perspective. And so in those sort of circumstances, there are other swap models where, you know, maybe you have tables and people swap directly one plant for another plant. There is a plant swap that we went to visit where they allocated tokens, and you got a certain number of tokens for bringing a certain sort of size plant, and then you could spend those tokens swapping for other plants. But the sort of the downside we saw of all of those models is they involve more organisation and more
knowledge.
And to make fair, and it just seemed more organisationally complicated, whereas at its purest sense this is quite simple and really simple and easy to understand.
Yes.
And yeah, it fitted very closely with what we wanted a plant swap to do.
We're happy to talk to people about setting up a plant swap. We have done that.
Yeah, so we're about to have our 12th.
Yes.
So we've been doing this a while now.
Yeah, you are seasoned hands. And do you think this is something that is going to grow? Do you think there's an appetite for it?
Oh, I hope so. I really do.
Yeah.
I think with more and more people realising that that sort of getting some nature back in your life brings all sorts of positive benefits, from sort of just beautifying your space to mental health to all sorts of reasons. It's a really positive thing to encourage, and making that as accessible as possible so you don't just have to buy the most stupidly expensive desirable plant is a really great way of doing that.
Well, that's a great point to end on. Thank you very much, Sarah.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Hope that's inspired you to think about setting up, attending or supporting a plant swap near you. You'll find Sarah and Faye's website at plantswap.uk, and I'll include that and lots of other links and pictures from our chat in the show notes at janeperrone.com. And if you're in travelling distance of Sheffield in the UK, then Plant Swap 13 is where you should be heading on November the 17th at 4 o'clock. This is Sarah and Faye's 13th Plant Swap. All the details of that are on their website, plantswap.uk, and you are guaranteed a warm welcome. And one final update. In episode 109, we had a little mention for the nitrogen-fixing qualities of Oxalis triangularis. But I've heard back from a couple of botanists who've told me that there's no evidence that Oxalis triangularis is a nitrogen-fixing plant. And Matt Candeus of In Defence of Plants, always a useful reference for these kind of questions, who tells me Oxalis do not form the nodules or any other structures that are requisite for an N-fixing lifestyle. Not to say it's impossible, but the literature is not turning up anything that would suggest Oxalis triangularis is a special case. So, I mean, it's not a big problem in that Oxalis triangularis is still a fantastic plant and one well worth growing, but I just wanted to clear up any confusion, and it's great to have such an expert audience on hand to make sure that we get things right here at On the Ledge, which is always the aim. That's all for this week. I will be back in 7 days for more chlorophyll-based advice and entertainment. Bye! The music in this episode was Roll Jordan Roll by the Joy Drops, An Instrument the Boy Called Happy Day Gakana by Samuel Corwin, Fire Tree by Axel Tree, and Overthrown by Josh Woodward. All these tracks are licensed under Creative Commons. See my show notes at janeperrone.com for details.
Tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first 3 audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.